Welcome to the Innate Vitality Code podcast, your source of science-backed information and inspiration on holistic healing, building resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. I'm your host, Dr. Andrea Pennington. I'm an integrative physician, acupuncturist, and positive psychology neuroscience nerd. For over 20 years, I've been healing and teaching in my wellness practice, in the media, on stages, and around the world, as part of my soul's mission to end suffering and raise the consciousness on the planet. This podcast does not provide medical advice or psychotherapy. Consult your healthcare provider before implementing what you hear on this show. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, beautiful soul. Very happy to be tuning in to you today live to explore reinvention. Wherever you are tuning in from, whether that is LinkedIn, Facebook, or YouTube, why don't you let me know in the chat? I'd love to know. Can you hear me? Where are you tuning in from? Are you curious about reinvention? Have you already done it yourself? Or are you just here because you heard that I'm launching a new company and giving away some free goodies? It's all good. Just let me know. Type in the chat and I am super curious. So if you don't know who I am yet, I am Dr. Dea Swandrea Pennington Vazio. I am here in the beautiful south of France where I live. I've lived here for going on 14 years. Can you believe it? And definitely my living here has been inspired by reinvention. So I'm super curious to know who all is here, what's your background. So when you can type into the chat, but I have a lot of goodies to share with you today. I am going to explain a little bit about my own journey as a physician and healer, a wounded healer at that. And then I will also share how you can get your hands on some of our new product line. And you can also ask me questions. So if you stick around to the end, I will also let you know how you can get some goodies, some freebies. We're doing a little giveaway here this time around, because why not? Why not? I love to be generous and to share. So yeah, today our session is about the science and soul of transformation and reinvention. I'm going to share a little bit of my journey and why I am now starting a new social enterprise called Soul Sense Alchemy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to share a little bit of how I went from sad, lonely, and depressed to living my best life on the French Riviera. Seriously, though, if you had told me that I would be healed from childhood trauma and complex PTSD, that I would sing on stages internationally, and I would share my very personal journey of transformation with the world. If you had told me that like 10, 20 years ago, I would have thought you were completely crazy or that maybe you got me confused with someone else's story. But that is where we are. That's where we are. So I want to just tease this up as we're talking about transformation and reinvention. I wonder how you define those terms. If you'd like to, you can type in the chat. When I think about transformation, I'm really thinking about the profound and often comprehensive change that affects our very nature, our whole essence. Transformation implies a significant shift in form, in structure, or appearance. And that transformation is often driven by an external or an internal force. There's some force that catalyzes the deep change. In the context of personal development and spiritual growth, transformation can be seen as a process where we undergo these changes in our way of thinking, our way of feeling, and even the way we behave that often leads to a new way of seeing the world and seeing ourselves. And the process isn't necessarily something that you decide to do. With transformation, it's often triggered by life circumstances that require us to adapt and shift our perspective or our lifestyle. Now, in contrast, reinvention, on the other hand, is really a more intentional and conscious process. It involves deliberately deciding to make a change in our life that really aligns with our hopes, our aspirations, our values, and the type of future that we want to live into. So for me, reinvention is really about taking control and actively shaping our destiny or our path, rather than being passively transformed by external events. So reinvention, again, involves a really clear vision of what you want to achieve, and it's going to require conscious effort to redefine yourself in alignment with that vision. So I really think of reinvention is about choosing which parts of you you want to discard, because there will be a certain death process going on, and which aspects you want to cultivate, the new traits, the skills, the attitudes that are more in alignment with who you want to be or who you feel yourself emerging as. So if you think of it, in essence, transformation and reinvention really both deal with change, of course, but the difference lies in the agency. With transformation, things are happening to us. And, you know, sometimes it's subtly or over time, sometimes it's through big, significant events, but it's something happening. Whereas reinvention is a proactive, strategic action that we take to really align our external life with our internal values and aspirations. So I'm wondering how that lands with you. Feel free to comment. Anyway, thank you, Janelle, for chiming in and letting me know that at least the audio quality is good. So I'm sure when you guys have something to say, you'll let me know. All right, so let's dig into this a little bit more. Now, when I think about transformation, I really think about one of the most fascinating realms of psychology that truly resonates deeply with this journey towards self-discovery and transformation. And what I'm talking about is Carl Jung's groundbreaking concept of archetypes. So if you're aware of Carl Jung, the Swiss psychiatrist and psychoanalyst, his work really introduced us to the idea that there are universal mythic characters, these archetypes that are embedded in the collective unconscious of people all across the world. All right, I see some people saying yeah, yeah to archetypes. So archetypes really represent these fundamental human motifs of our experience as we evolve, and they evoke deep emotions and behaviors. And so why does this matter? It's because these archetypes can manifest within us at different points in our lives. They're influencing our behaviors, our desires, our choices. These archetypal forces are guiding us through our personal narratives and our transformations. So maybe you already know of some of these archetypes: the hero, the sage, the rebel, the lover. Many of you who have been following me know I talk a lot about the wounded inner child, but there's also the happy inner child. Understanding these archetypes can really illuminate the path to understanding ourselves and embracing our own journeys of growth and change. So I'd love to explore some of these universal symbols because I really feel that they can help inspire transformation and give us insight on our paths. When I look back over the last, I've been on the planet 5 decades. I mentioned that I really started off as this very sad, depressed individual who didn't want to be on the planet. And through some very interesting spiritual adventures, I was given a choice. And obviously, I'm still here. When I got into medical school, I thought that I was going to embody the archetype of the healer. I wanted to help. I wanted to ease the suffering, very much like the suffering that I experienced in life. And as I was in my third year of medical school, I was exposed to acupuncture and Chinese medicine. Maybe you saw the video where I talked about the Kundalini awakening that I experienced after my very first acupuncture session. But that experience and then training in acupuncture for drug and alcohol detox was the beginning of me recognizing that there is so much more to this mind, body, spirit system that we live in than what they were teaching me in medical school. So I convinced the dean of Washington University School of Medicine, Dean Peck, may he rest in peace. I convinced him to let me go to the Bronx to study with Dr. Michael Smith in the Lincoln Hospital, where we were putting in treatments for people who were detoxing from drug and alcohol as outpatients. Now, for those of you who've seen any movie of somebody who's detoxing, if you're like me, I had just done a psych rotation and I thought that was inhumane. But yes, with this special ear protocol, you could detox people and they would have sometimes a Kundalini or a chi rising experience. Sometimes they would get into expanded states of consciousness where they could see their lives and their problems from a little bit of a distance that allowed them to engage in psychotherapy or in their 12-step group. So when I graduated from medical school in 1998, I was ready to integrate Eastern and Western concepts. And this was when I stepped into a new archetype, the visionary. I had this vision of how we could do integrative medicine in a way that helped people really get down to the root cause of their illness, the root cause of their suffering, because that's what Eastern medicine is all about. So stepping into that visionary role felt right for me. Now, because of my background with the trauma and the dysfunction, I was also molded and folded into a bit of a people pleaser and a perfectionist. And I had this compulsive need to prove myself. So getting the medical degree was one thing, and then getting certified and licensed as an acupuncturist was one thing. And then I went and I got specialty training in bariatric medicine because I started working with people with eating disorders. So got training in nutrition and bariatric medicine to support them. And then, of course, I found out that a lot of the people with substance use disorder and eating disorders, they had trauma in their background. So I went and got trauma trained. And then I discovered that as some people were shedding the weight or giving up their substances or their addictive behaviors, they didn't know how to be in their bodies. So I got additional experience with somatic or body-based therapies. So it was really kind of this continual search. So, I mean, I guess it's a good thing that I was folded and molded and programmed into being this perfectionist, you know, always seeking out knowledge because it really helped me. But then there came a moment when I recognized that many of my patients didn't get better, even if we gave them everything they needed in this beautiful holistic spa that I created. I discovered that if they didn't love themselves, if they didn't think that they were worthy of health and happiness, they would often sabotage. And so this kind of blew my mind. But as I started to listen as to why they didn't feel worthy, it was like it set up this resonance within me where I realized, wow, there's a lot of things I don't feel worthy of. And that was when I realized I didn't love myself unconditionally. And all of that kind of started to unravel as I was on TV, doing the Oprah show and doing documentaries for Discovery Channel and then publishing my first book. And all of that kind of was coming to head. And I was really struck with this internal recognition that I wasn't whole. I wasn't truly, fully aligned. And that is what led me into a little bit of burnout and ultimately into hitting rock bottom in a dark night of the ego. Is any of this resonating with y'all? Can anybody out there relate, or is it just me? Well, I found myself waking up with depression and anxiety, but because I was on television every day, I would put on my happy mask and I would go into the TV studio and I would just smile and I would do the news and I would do the shows until I couldn't anymore. And so if you've seen my TED talk, you know that in 2005, I called on the divine to take my life because I didn't want it anymore. I had already agreed to not take my own life, so I asked God to do it. And that was really a moment where I was grappling with just intense questioning. Like, I've got the career, I've got the money, I've got the degrees. Why am I so unhappy? And what I came to understand was I was not living in alignment with my heart and my soul, with my truth. And so when I was here in the south of France in 2005, called on God to take my life, I thought God was answering my question when I was pulled from my body into this white light and I went through the tunnel, the classic NDE, kind of out of body, near death experience. And this was this moment where I saw that every little decision that had been made from my birth to that point was the cause of my depression. And it was interesting because I came to understand in this out-of-body experience, it was like choice. Like, I know that sounds, to me, it sounds stupid. I was 34 years old and I didn't realize that I could have chosen differently. But living with child abuse and all of this sort of things, it warps your thinking. But it was coming to that recognition that I could choose differently, that I said yes to life. And I was shown a vision of me living in France, singing professionally, healing with my hands, which I thought was a little weird and woo-woo, but it allowed me to say yes to life. And as I emerged from that near-death experience, I completely changed everything about my life. So this was my first step towards a conscious reinvention. And I really talk about three different archetypes that go through these transformative dark nights. And maybe you've already heard this, but I call it the dark night of the ego. I'm going to give you a little aside. Many people know this term, the dark night of the soul. It's very popular in Western culture. But did you know that the poem that this is based off of, from San Juan de la Cruz, or St. John of the Cross in English, San Juan's original poem was called Noche Oscura, meaning dark night. He didn't talk about a dark night of the soul. He did talk about union with the soul and being fully in oneness with the divine. But the dark night is a dark night of the ego, because it's the ego that starts to dissolve and disintegrate. It's full of turmoil and tumult, because many of us, our ego doesn't want to give up. Your ego is this construct that's based on survival. But it really is the dark night of the ego, because all of these ego structures start to fall away. But it's not a time for total despair, because soon will come the dawn, and it's the dawn of the soul. So if you look at San Juan's original poem, which is on my website at wondrea.com, you can even see my analysis of the poem, you come to realize that it is the dawn of the soul. Your soul isn't in sad and miserable. The soul is happy, like, finally, I'm getting to see the light of day. And that's what it was for me. I went through this dark night of the ego and emerged from that near-death experience in alignment with my soul and ready to start crafting a life that aligned with my heart, my soul, my desires, my passions. It wasn't perfect. I still had some ways to go, but I'm just giving you that as context. Because what it led to was the emergence of another archetype. So there are three main archetypes that I've studied over the years that I've seen that as they go through like some devastation, they hit rock bottom, and they go through some dark night. If they emerge stronger, they either emerge as the butterfly, the phoenix, or the superhero. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a background here. So each of these archetypes really represents a unique pathway, and it's how we respond to life's challenges. You know, we are all on a journey of the soul. We are all on this journey toward awakening, to stepping into who we really are. And to give you a sense of it, I see the superhero, you know, in my medical practice, I would see people who had gone through intense trauma. And as soon as they came into an environment of love and support, they could often emerge strong, resilient, with post-traumatic growth, or with this new boldness to really seize life, like seize the day after their transformation. These superhero archetypes, they often feel really empowered to now live life on their own terms, advocating for themselves. Maybe they're even advocating for others, and all of that, you know, is kind of informed by their past experiences. And so the hero archetype, in relationship to the dark night of the ego, really symbolically represents the triumph over adversity. And it really showcases this heroic emergence that inspires and motivates. Now, the other type is the butterfly archetype. And this one doesn't really emerge from trauma, but it's just from this natural evolution or life transition, where they start to realize that the previous way of living just no longer aligns. It's kind of like, you know, if someone were in kindergarten or primary school, there's gonna come a point, even though they might be attached to their favorite teachers, there's gonna come a point where they naturally want to step out. And so the butterfly archetype symbolizes a gradual transformation. Oftentimes it's more graceful. And this archetype experiences a metamorphosis that is quite a bit more introspective. So they still go through kind of a dark night, but it's not one of despair like the others. It's an introspective journey where they go within and they're kind of wrestling with, who am I now? And who was I then? And what does all of this mean? And then it leads to a rebirth into a form that more represents their true self. And so symbolically, it really, the butterfly captures this gentle yet profound process of internal change that's focused on personal evolution, where they're still shedding old identities. And the third distinct archetype that I've seen and also experienced is the phoenix. And the phoenix is that flaming bird that is born from the ashes of drastic life changes and upheavals that really necessitate a complete destruction of the former self and their circumstances. Like, it's like they burn it all down. And so the phoenix archetype really undergoes this fiery transformation where everything that no longer serves them is completely burned away. And it allows for a powerful and often dramatic rebirth. And it typically symbolizes this renewal, this fierce resurgence, despite going through significant losses or challenges. And it's often driven by external forces that really require a complete overhaul of the self or their life. And so, you know, originally I kind of felt like coming through my near-death experience, I came back to the United States, I was pregnant, I shifted into a completely holistic vibe, moved away from going into the hospital with an OBGYN and found a beautiful midwife and a birthing center. And I was really, I felt like it was more of a butterfly archetype. I was kind of coming into the softer side of me and and aligning with the things that were starting to emerge as adult, as an adult. So for me, that was kind of how I saw that. I've definitely had the Phoenix experience as well, where I felt like I needed to burn everything down. I think that was more when I moved here to the south of France. It was pretty powerful for me. So I wonder, you know, which of these archetypes do you resonate with? Or have you been through a dark night of the ego? How would you characterize who you've become? All right, I'm going to pop over and see if you've put anything into the chat, if there are any questions. And I want to give you a little special key for anyone who would like some goodies. I'm going to be sharing in a moment the launching of our new Soul Sense Alchemy line. So I'm doing a giveaway, and the code word is one of those three archetypes. So it could be butterfly, phoenix, or superhero. I'm going to give you a link where you can go in and you can just answer a few questions in one of our surveys. And if you do that, you will be entered to win something from our new line. And if you stick around to the end, I'll share another way how you can win. So I've just popped that into the chat on YouTube. All right, so coming to your questions and comments. So Janelle, I love that. I love hearing that you already love acupuncture. That is sweet. And you already know Chinese medicine has been helping you and your clients. I love that. All right, and Monica, born in Costa Rica, living in New Hampshire, going through transformation yourself, and a similar story to mine. Okay, raised very similar, and with relation to music. Yes, well, you're going to hear a little bit more about my musical side that is coming up very shortly. I'm glad to know this resonates. Yes, yes, yes. Good to have you here, Kaya and Chuck. Welcome. Good to have you. All right. And Bino, I'm glad that this is inspiring and stimulating. And Chuck, you say that you are the caterpillar and aspiring to be a butterfly. Well, just know it's on its way. These things are definitely part of the plan. It is an innate drive that we have to transform. And great to have you here, John Melius. How can one be sure that the soul is in control instead of the ego? What's the way that one can test this or identify it clearly? Well, that's a great question. Thank you for that, John. One of the things that I know you already know this, John, because you've been in some of my live streams. I highly recommend meditation and mindfulness so that you can tune in to your body, your heart. You can tune into different parts of you. So if you think about this from a Jungian perspective, all of these ego parts, whether it's your inner rebel, inner child, whatever, those are part of the ego, right? And so if you're like mad at someone and you want to go get revenge and you can't see it from their perspective, you can probably know that's an ego part. If you can tune in, say you're having some inspired vision of something you want to do next, and you kind of sit with it in meditation or in your journaling practice, you could ask, is this my soul or is this my ego? Is this based on my old programming or is this based on my heart and where my soul is leading? So I like to ask those questions. I also like to do this in prayer. You know, you can just literally pray. Pray to your guides, pray to your higher self, right? We typically know that the ego is driven by fear. The ego is a construct that's based in survival mode. The ego wants to keep you, your physical body, and your personality alive. And so it's driven through fear. Am I going to look bad? Am I going to get taken away from the tribe? Am I going to succeed or fail? That's fear-based, ego-based reactivity. Whereas the soul, when we're really living a soul-inspired life, we want to contribute. We are led by love. We are desiring the best for ourselves and for others, which means you still may disagree with someone, but you can come at it from a perspective of love. And along my path, I will definitely say that I also had a period where I was here living on the French Riviera, and one morning I was meditating. And, you know, at this point, that was 2010, and I was starting to feel more like myself. I reinvented myself when I came here. I was pretty much just focused on my daughter full time. I had a lot of time to meditate and exercise by the beach. And I was learning Qigong, this method of healing with my hands. And it really felt aligned to just be a little bit still and quiet. I had left the busyness of my career in the United States. And I was doing some consultations because people, you know, were curious. And I started a little consulting business. But one morning I was sitting on my meditation cushion and I'm like zen, feeling really good. And all of a sudden I could feel and hear this nudge, this call to get back out on stages like I had been in America. And originally I was like, that must be my ego. Oh, you miss the limelight. You miss being a star. And yeah, I kind of was judging it. But as I sat with it a little longer and I did this inquiry, like, where's this coming from? And it really became clear that this was coming from my soul. My soul was leading me to say, it's time to get back out there, but not the way I was on stage and on TV in America. No, it was now you need to come out as who you are now. This integrative, spiritual, holistic being. And I really sat with that and I was like, okay, this is coming from my soul. And it was at that time that I started to outline like, okay, well, if I'm going to get back out on stage, I need to rebrand myself. I don't want people to think it's the old Dr. Andrea that was on TV and documentaries. Like, I need to come out as the real me. And so I asked the question, what's the best way to rebrand myself? And I thought, I know, a TED Talk. Well, guess what? Not a few months later, I was hired as an adjunct professor at the International University of Monaco. I was teaching applied positive psychology and television industry and corporate branding. And one day I got a phone call and the person said, Dr. Pennington, we just got our first license to do a TEDx. Would you be willing to speak? And I was like, okay, I've heard about manifesting a law of attraction. But I had literally said that that's what I wanted to do. And so if you've seen my first TED Talk, that's how it came about. And so what I had already been working on my meditation cushion, is what I shared on that stage. Now, in reinvention, it doesn't mean you're going to get it 100% perfect. And believe me, that first TED Talk, even though it's gotten 3 million views and a lot of people love it, it wasn't perfect. But that's okay, because it was me stepping up and stepping into this new role. And I stepped into a new archetype, the archetype of the storyteller. And it started a whole new aspect to my public speaking career, where I was sharing very vulnerably my own story, which then helped me tell other people's stories, which then led me to create a publishing company and a branding company. So I stepped into all of these various roles sort of naturally over time. Yeah. So coming back to your questions here. So I see Julie says, I resonate with three at different times. I moved on from the superhero recently and now you're in the Phoenix phase. Oh, I love that, Julie. Good for you. And John says, so loving thoughts mean the soul and fear, anger, and pain is more likely the ego. Absolutely. Hey, Stefan, it's been a while. One of our authors, good to see you. Stefan Conradi, how did the singing lead you to a more conscious life? Meaning, does the soul also create your lyrics you sing? Actually, yes. For me, if you saw the second TED Talk called How Music Saved My Life or My Journey from Depression to Real Self-Love, I sang live on that TED stage, on that big red carpet. For me, I recognize that music has been my saving grace. All those times of depression and not wanting to be on the planet, the thing that saved me was creativity, whether it was acting, performing in theater, music, dance, all of those things really saved me. And I felt like it allowed me to move energy and move emotion. And for me, I do believe that when I'm singing, I'm more aligned with my soul, because I think if I hadn't been programmed the way I was in my childhood, I probably would be a full-time performing artist all the time. And so now I'm super excited that I am transitioning to yet another archetype. And maybe you've already heard me talk about soul, sense, alchemy. As we're exploring all of these powerful archetypes, for me, one that has been really calling to me over the years is the alchemist. So once again, let's go back to Carl Jung. Carl Jung deeply explored through his work on individuation, like how we self-actualize. Jung was also very fascinated with alchemy. And in particular, he highlighted the transformative process of alchemy was not just turning lead into gold, but it was also the transformative process of the self. And alchemy is really about magic in a certain way, but it was also, for Jung, it was a metaphor for the psychological process of transforming the mundane into the sublime, or the sort of lead-like aspects of our psyche into spiritual gold. And that brings me seamlessly into why I'm so happy to introduce you to Soul Sense Alchemy, which is a venture born from a fusion from these ideas and our modern understanding of neuroaesthetics. Neuroaesthetics is an emerging field of neuroscience where we're studying the effects of beauty, art, and creativity on the brain and how they affect our mood. It's really a transformative aspect to beauty and art. And so together with my husband, we have founded this company called Soul Sense Alchemy to provide you with tools to engage in your own personal experiments of transformation. So I'm inviting you to become your own scientist. And at Soul Sense Alchemy, we're harnessing the artistic and creative elements of meditation, visualization, scripting to alchemize your life, and aromatherapy. So at Soul Sense Alchemy, in addition to the meditations and affirmations, we've got these amazing fragrances. So we are actually launching with three fragrances: Rosewood Reverie in perfume and diffuser oils and candles. This is my favorite. This is what I'm wearing today. This is for women. It's very sweet. It's very indulgent. It's very gourmand and cozy and velvety. So Rosewood Reverie is for the ladies. Divine MF, which is also available as a perfume for the body, candles, diffuser oils. Divine MF is a unisex fragrance. So for men and women who want to tune into that divine masculine or divine feminine, this is going to help you embody that. And the third fragrance is Island Inspiration. And this one is not for the body. It's for your ambiance of your space, for your linens, for your room. And it's really reminiscent of Corsica, the island where my husband and I went on our honeymoon. But it's got this citrusy, this vibrant, woodsy, ocean breeze kind of vibe to it. So if you would like to get a hold of one of our treasure boxes, my husband is creating all sorts of beautiful boxes to go with the line of products. We're doing a special giveaway. So I already popped the link into the chat on YouTube. You can also visit my website, and you can find out, all you have to do is fill out a little survey. You can either scan this QR code. I don't know if this works live, but you know, we're trying it anyway. You can scan this QR code to go to the opt-in page, or you can go to soulsensealchemy.com and just enter your email. But what we're doing is we are giving you a little taste, including some discount coupons if this is of interest to you. And in addition to the fragrances, the meditations, the journal prompts, we're also including affirmations and music. So I am playing, I am singing, I am creating some music with AI and with musicians. And yes, to get to back to your question, Stefan, it is about aligning with my soul and crafting music that puts you into a mood of whatever archetype you want to step into. So, for example, coming through as the Phoenix, one of the energies that really spoke to me as I was really like shedding the old and stepping into the new was what I call the bad bitch. The bad bitch era. It was like stepping into this boldness as I healed from some of the childhood trauma. And I see Trevor here says, I love Divine MF. Trevor was there. He was with me in Costa Rica when I came out of one of these ayahuasca journeys. And I was just like, I was on fire. I was like ready to seize the day. And so one of the songs that I've recently written is called Bad Bitch Era. But the music we're doing, I mean, some of it is meditative and chill, reminiscent of the islands in South America in honor of my mother who passed away in 2021. We've also got like samba and bossa nova and some reggae grooves to kind of help people tune into a different vibe. So the whole concept is you can change your vibration, you can change your energy. We know that music affects mood, and so we want to help you to consciously choose to set the mood that you want to step into. And so I am singing from my heart and from my soul in these new songs. It's really exciting because over the years I've recognized how important music is and why it could save me from depression. Research has shown that music can affect our emotions. It can help regulate our mood. Music can help reduce stress and improve our mental health. Music, just like scent, when you breathe in, it instantly goes into the olfactory bulb in your brain and it goes straight to the limbic system. Well, music does the same thing. You listen to something, and that vibe, that music can stimulate the limbic system, which is involved in emotional regulation and mood management. You've probably heard of the amygdala. And that's why certain music soundtracks can actually elevate our spirit and energize us. And so I've even written some music that is reminiscent of like superhero movies, where you're watching some epic movie and you see someone coming out of the desert and it sort of fills you with that same energy. Well, I've got some songs that are for that as well. And it's fun because music can actually serve as a psychological cue. It can trigger certain emotional states that can be very motivating or very calming. To put back on my nerd hat, in cognitive psychology, we discuss this as associative learning. It's where the brain links music with a certain emotional experience. So when you're listening to some epic soundtrack, that can be associated in your brain with heroism and triumph. And that can evoke similar feelings of grandeur and empowerment when you're listening. And so I love the concept as well of embodiment. In psychology, it suggests that our physical state can also influence our mental state and vice versa. So if you're listening to music with a bold, epic quality or a fun and playful quality, that can lead you to actually adopt those qualities. You couple that with a scent that ties to that emotion, and you're making it this multi-sensory experience. If you listen to one of our guided meditations with visualization cues and journaling cues, you're bringing in all of the senses and your soul. And this is how we know that people can start to feel more confident or powerful after doing some of these rituals. So it's a super exciting time for us to be stepping into this new archetype. Me as the alchemist, the alchemist is actively engaged in transformation. It's this archetype that's utilizing knowledge, both spiritual and scientific, to catalyze change. I really see the alchemist as someone who blends the mystical with the practical. So as we seek to turn lead or our mundane or challenging life experiences into gold, and the gold could represent enlightenment, awakening, healing, or just higher understanding. So The alchemist is very much like how I was as an innovator or a visionary, but the focus is really on transformation at a profound level. And I'm super excited to be reinventing myself and starting this new company. And I'm excited to invite you along. So when you fill out the little preferences form, please do mention one of those three archetypes that we talked about, the butterfly, the superhero, or the phoenix, and you'll get an extra bonus of being able to enter this drawing to win something free. So yes, Janelle, now you've got the code word. The code words are, you can choose one of those three. It can be butterfly, superhero, or phoenix. And that will get you an additional added entry when you fill out the survey at this bit.ly link that I've just put in the chat or the QR code. So I'd love to open up now in the last 15 minutes and take some questions. How does this resonate with you? Like, some of you have talked about you've been embodying different archetypes. Yeah, please know that you're going to continue to shift and grow and mold and fold and evolve, ideally into the highest version of you. I think probably after the archetype of the alchemist, I kind of feel like my next one, you know, maybe when I hit 60, I'll turn into the sage, you know, the wise woman. We'll see. So I'm super curious if you have any questions, anything you're curious about this journey. And then I'd love to share with you another way that you can engage with this concept of identifying your true self, your archetype, and how to navigate the dark night. How do you actually navigate through the dark night of the ego and emerge into the dawn of your soul? Well, one of the ways is you can get this book, The Real Self-Love Handbook, because in it I include the 5-step process that I taught my patients and that I used myself to climb out of burnout, to climb out of that depressed hole. As I've reinvented myself, I go back to the 5 steps of the cornerstone process. And for those of you who've already been around either in the Real Self-Love movement, or you've been in any of my classes, or you've read the book, the 5 steps of the cornerstone process take you from awareness, where you are learning and becoming aware of who you were programmed to be. So you're identifying the false self, as well as identifying the authentic self, looking at your soul print, your spiritual DNA. We move to step 2, which is about acceptance. It's learning to accept that the past is the past. None of us had a perfect childhood, but we don't have to carry the blame and shame and guilt. We can forgive others, forgive ourselves if possible, and we embrace compassion to just accept that we're here in the here and now. Step 3 is accountability, and this is where we take responsibility for our life moving forward. No more blame. We take responsibility. We are accountable. And this, you know, really represents that turning point. Step 4 is inspired action. And this is all about deciding that we want to tune in and only take action that is aligned with our values, with our heart, and with our soul. And we might seek guidance from higher realms, our higher self, maybe our guides, our ancestors, angels. But we make that commitment that we're not going to take action unless it is inspired action. And then the 5th and final step is appreciation. And this is where we tune in consciously to positive emotion. And that's where the beauty, the appreciation of beauty and art and creativity, appreciation and gratitude for anything in your world that gives you that sense of joy. So that is the 5-step process. It gives you this holistic framework, and each step along the way, there are a variety of questionnaires and surveys and questions to ask you and prompt you on this journey. So you can check that out in the Real Self-Love Handbook and the Real Self-Love Community. We meet on the 2nd Tuesday of the month, totally for free. And I lead a guided attunement meditation to support you in embodying that. So, are views in the chat? I don't see anyone's comments coming in from LinkedIn. It seems like only Facebook and YouTube are coming in. So if you're on LinkedIn and you're leaving me a question there, I will come and answer those later. But if there's anyone else here, do you have questions? Is there anything else I can expand upon that you maybe haven't heard me talk about yet? I'm happy to go a little deeper. Let me know. Let me know, let me know. Are you curious about any of these experiments? Oh yes, I haven't talked much about the experiments. So one of the things that we will be doing on YouTube, but also in the Soul Alchemy Lab, is we're really in a laboratory of life. I want you to like look at life as an experiment. You know, that takes a little bit of the perfectionism out of it. I don't know if anyone else has, you know, had to deal with perfectionism. Sometimes perfectionism can stop you from making moves. So we are giving you experiments where you can just try things out. These are going to be new concepts for many people, and that's okay. You know, you don't have to get all worked up. You can enter into the laboratory of life, and each week I'll be giving you a new experiment. Maybe it'll be about scent. Maybe it'll be about music or meditation. Or one of my favorites is the alter ego. Like, how can you choose an alter ego and then learn how to step into it and embody it? So stay tuned for the Soul Alchemy Lab experiments. It'll be a fun way to bring in neuropsychology, the law of attraction, spirituality, and, you know, neuroscience to support you. All right. Julie says, not a question. I love that we are able to embark on a multi-century sensory adventure. The scents and the music are really amplifiers for emotions, connection. So cool and very unique. Yes, I think so too. Thank you. I'm super excited and can't wait to let you all experience, you know, these products that are created here. I mean, maybe you already knew this, but I live very close to the perfume capital of the world, the south of France, here in a place called Grasse. They're the biggest perfumeries in the world source their flowers from Grasse. And we are crafting each of these fragrances. I've told you about three of them that are available in our launch, but we have several others that are coming out, and they're each designed to touch into a different mood or energy. And they are ethically sourced. They are not tested on animals, which is also very important for us. And there's another aspect of Soul Sense Alchemy that is really important to me, and that is the social enterprise. I'm at a stage in my life where I want to give. I want to give back. I want to support. So one thing is I want to support artists. And so we're creating an artist in residence program. Once we are up and running and have the finances, we'd like to sponsor someone who wants to be able to immerse themselves and study or perfect their craft, whether they're a painter, singer, writer, sculptor. If you've seen anything about the south of France, then you probably know that most of the major impressionists and other artists had residences here, you know, from Picasso, Matisse, on and on, because the lighting is beautiful. There's just something magical about the south of France. And so that's part of our social enterprise. We are also very interested in investing in new entrepreneurs. These are things that have been very impactful in my life. And so we will be doing a sort of micro investment to support budding entrepreneurs in different countries. So I'm really proud of that and really excited that we'll be able to offer that. So I thank you. I thank you for tuning in and learning a little bit about my process of reinvention and transformation. Super curious if any of these archetypes have resonated with you, this process. I will soon be doing some special live streams about the five stages of the dark night of the ego and the dawn of the soul. And I'll specifically show you how the five steps of the cornerstone process can lead you out of the darkness and the chaos, whether it's a painful dark night or just the introspective dark night from the butterfly, you know, the caterpillar going into the chrysalis to emerge. It's really helpful. I will also be doing a special masterclass on how to develop your own alter ego and go through that process of becoming whoever it is, whether it's the badass or it's the superhero or, you know, what have you. So I'm super excited about that. I love teaching, and I love being able to now bring the magic and the spirituality and the art and aesthetics all together. And when we look at alchemy as the means through which we transform, it brings in the mystical and the magical. So this has been fun. I hope this has been helpful to those of you who were able to tune in live. I can't wait to see your responses on our survey. We're just asking some questions about, you know, what are your preferences? What are you interested in? If any of the things that I've talked about, from the meditations, the affirmations, rituals are another part of the Soul Sense Alchemy concept. We're going to be teaching how to create your own wellness rituals, whether it's with our products or not. Engaging in ritual can be a beautiful way to enhance well-being and to support you on your transformation journey. So when you fill out the survey, you'll be able to chime in and let us know what you currently do. Are you into rituals? Do you have a wellness practice? And remember to enter one of those three keywords to get an additional entry into our giveaway for some of these amazing products back here. We'll even include one of our treasure chests. Oh, that's another thing. Coming soon, we will have a quarterly treasure chest. They're much bigger so that they can hold multiple products. We're also going to be including talismans. We have these various stones and with runes and carved on them, like this one made out of wood. So I'm super excited. All right, my friends, thank you again for tuning in. It's been so, so nice to connect with you, and thank you for being here. And I can't wait to connect with you again. If you're watching on the replay, you can still get involved, type into the chat, follow the links, and I will see you on our next one. All right. Thank you for being here, everyone. Wishing you much love and lots of peace on your transformative journey, because heaven knows we need that too, right? Some of us need a whole lot of peace. Yeah. All right, my friends, take good care. Bye for now. Thank you for listening to the Innate Vitality Code podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend, rate the podcast, and subscribe. This helps me with getting my message out to a wider audience. For show notes and other episodes, visit innatevitality.com/podcast. That's vitality.com/podcast. You can also sign up for my free masterclass series, Each month, I take a deep dive into the topics of holistic healing, resilience, trauma recovery, and self-love. Just visit innatevitality.com.